We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey friends, if you enjoy a good time, and I know you do, you gotta check out our new best friend, Bert Kreischer, comedian going live at Red Rocks Amphitheater Wednesday, September 28th, 2021, just around the corner here. Mark Norman, right alongside with him there, a couple of absolutely hilarious dudes. You don't have to take my word for it, you can YouTube those names. You've probably seen The Machine on Showtime or Comfortably Dumb on Comedy Central. Maybe you've heard about his podcast, Bertcast or Open Tabs. Bert Kreischer, absolutely hilarious partier. Guy really does bring the comedy to the stage, the antics. It's a whole lot of fun to watch him. Gonna be out at the best venue in the world. So really, it's a win-win-win situation. You should already have the Red Rocks app downloaded straight up. But if you don't, now's a good time to do it. Get that Red Rocks app on your phone. You can grab your tickets to see Bert Kreischer with Mark Norman. Again, that's September 8th at the best venue in the world. Bert Kreischer, Mark Norman, Red Rocks, September 8th. All ages welcome. Make it happen. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, we talk in Schwepp. A full-on sweep, as was predicted by Patrick Lyons, and I certainly did not disagree with and how strange with the San Diego Padres sitting there still after the sweep in a postseason position, hanging on to that wild card by a game and a half with the Reds and maybe even the Cardinals right on their heels now, but still. Your Colorado Rockies, ladies and gentlemen out there, getting it done. Obviously, the Padres didn't have their best, certainly when it came to starting pitching to throw out this series. That said, the Rockies really did take care of business, sealed it off at the 7-5 victory day. Got a little dicey. You got your question marks about whether the bullpen was going to hold together. It really became a bullpen game early on. But they did manage to hang on and get it done, Patrick, despite only getting three innings out of Chichi Gonzalez. And you go, all right, this is the one. If they're going to fall down and lose one, if the Padres are really going to come back and be the better team here, this is the game they're going to do it. But nope, more great stuff from Crone and Blackman and Story and the guys who've been getting it done lately. And the Rockies just, they're 41-20. They are 20 games over 500 at home. 41-21. Absolutely wild.
And if you did that over an entire season, you'd be 91-71 and you'd be postseason bound. Yeah, the Rockies got more from their number six starter than the Padres did from what's essentially their number eighth or ninth starter. I guess anyone, if you're a free agent, you're technically the sixth starter. They brought him in as a hired gun, couldn't get it done. Rockies win their sixth straight against San Diego. They're now a whopping 8-1 over the last nine games. They've been scoring in the first inning all three games of this series, including the last game of the homestand against the Marlins. And the Padres, this was probably as much of a must-win game, I think, for the Padres as they've seen all season. It's still really early to say that, and that's a whole conversation of like what really is like a must-win game, because really it's more statistical than anything of like, no, literally, if you don't win today, you're knocked out of the playoffs. If you're going by that metric, you have a long way to go. But you could see just by how they were fighting, and like they needed to win today to get something, partially because the only team with a definitive losing record left on their schedule is Arizona. And it's in Arizona where the Diamondbacks have been fine. Losing two out of three Diamondbacks in Phoenix isn't crazy. They've got a really rough road ahead. Philly, Dodgers, Angels, Astros, Giants, Cardinals, Atlanta, more Dodgers and Giants. This could be the straw or the crone. Yeah. This could be the crone that broke the Padres' camel's back. This could be it.
Yeah. I mean, this really was, if you're looking at this from a Padres perspective, this had to be an absolutely brutal series to take for a team that came into the year thinking we can beat the Dodgers and win the division. And now you're just hoping that in this last month plus a little bit here, that you're not falling out of wild card contention, and with them kind of just piecing the rotation as best they can get, obviously throwing Jake Arrieta out there today. Boy, was there a cosmic strange irony in that. And of course the Rockies got after him. He hates pitching in Coors Field. And so it could have even been a lot bigger with that really strange double play in the first inning where the Padres get the out at the force out at second and the tag out at home on a slightly hesitating Connor Joe there. That was unusual. So that took a run off the board. First thing that happened for the Rockies offense in this game, really a gimme run that they should have had there, even if they turn a standard double play.
That whole first inning was very strange. How back and forth where you go, all right, they scored three runs in the first. I know what that looks like, right? It should be pretty basic, and it was anything but basic in that first inning, as you said, with that the out at home. But it was Connor Joe walks on four pitches, Hampson singles, and it to a line drive in center field, and somehow Connor Joe ends up on third base. So it's first and third. You get the fielder's choice. You get that weird double play. And so you go, all right, they're going to be out of it. Story gets hit by a pitch. Okay, keeps it alive. Crone doubles. McMahon singles, and you've got your three runs when it seemed like they were going to jump on him early, and then didn't get it. And you did.
I know. It was such a roller coaster ride of emotions there in that first inning, and then just able to add and keep getting it done. But it really was like, and with Chi-Chi coming back and not having even his best stuff, and we know that even at his best, he still really has to piece together a quality approach to get a good game. And so, it was there, even with those three first run innings, they Will Myers comes right back, the two run jack. Will Myers is going to do Will Myers things at Coors Field. I got another one later on. I see Mark asking in the comments here, Will Myers is actually a free agent this upcoming offseason. And I've thought about it. I've looked at it. I've wondered what the market would be, what the fit would be. I think you'd rather bring back CJ Cron to be your first baseman if you're doing that. But you wonder, right? You have to wonder, because dude just rakes it Coors. He's got to wake up in the morning on these trips to Denver going, about to pad some stats today.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money due to him left. He will have there's a team option in 2023. So, depending on how well he does. But You know, if the Rockies, or rather, if the Padres are looking to dump some payroll, you know, maybe they're able to swing a deal, you know, since he still is on the books for next season. But he'll be a free agent in no time. And he's a guy that, because he doesn't really have a true position, you go DH in the NL.
Yeah.
Might as well. Look, never say never, right? After Matt Kemp goes and signs. And again, look, fans, you feel how you feel towards certain players and you hate. But if you're a front office and you could bring in a guy that, frankly, is maybe a better option than what else you have, you do it. It's a business. Will Myers has to go out there and do it to the best of his abilities. And if the Rockies, you know, face the brunt of it, so be it. You can hold that grudge against them, but the Rockies front office can't. So never say never, Will, about Will Myers, right?
That's right. I mean, I think that would be hilarious if that ended up. let's get right into our Colorado Rockies players playing hot, playing well right now. Let's toast our Breck Brews to them on this day. I've got my Juice Drop Hazy IPA from Breckenridge Brew. It's one of my favorites. I get the Hot Peak IPA. I like my IPAs. The Hot Peak is usually what we've got on draft down at the DNVR bar. Having a couple of those, hanging out with our guy Will here in the comments at trivia last night, having a good time. Really, really enjoy the Breck Seltzies. Also, those seltzers, if you haven't tried them, give it a try. If you're curious, because I was like, I don't think this is for me.
It turned you around. I was thinking it would probably wasn't. I'm like, Drew's gonna try because that's how you are. You're going to give it the old college try.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm sure you'll enjoy them somewhat, but you're like, for the most part, no. And yet I see my man. I see my man going for some Celsies.
Yeah. The peach and the apple ones, especially.
Yeah.
Have got me turned around, and it's a lot easier to do yoga after Celsies than it is after IPAs. I will tell you that one. That is a fact. That's a science fact. Also a science fact. You get a much bigger Breck Brew when you come down to the DNVR bar and order one. You should have seen, I was walking around with those 22 ounces last night. If you're a member, become a member by subscribing to the DNVR.com today. If you subscribe for the annual, we'll send you a free shirt. And if you subscribe at any level, you get access to all the written content, the Discord channel, constant discounts on hats and shirts and whatever else we got rolling into the merch store. So come hang out with us. Be a member of the family today. Don't forget, if you're going to have a fantasy football draft, schedule it down at the DNVR bar. We'll hook you up with some free pitchers of beer. Email gm@thednvrbar.com. Get all the details there. We'll get you hooked up. We'll get it all figured out. So we are toasting our Breck Brews on this day to the 5 or 6 or so. sometimes we fudge it a little bit. Players who represent the best of the Colorado Rockies right now with 20th, Blaze.
I love it. There were a lot of choices. You know, even if you go back and look at that road series in San Francisco, because the offense was able to do a couple things, and that's essentially where we're going to start with number 5, Charlie Blackmon. My man, because, you know, I really wasn't thinking about the whole parameters of I'm calling him to hit homers on back-to-back nights. I didn't think of it like that. And granted, Charlie's not thinking about that either. You just go out and play the game. And I like the matchup last night. He didn't get it done against Strom. He did it against a different lefty in Hill. And made me feel really good coming through with my DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. So if you're in on that, that was plus 400. You're welcome. It's the least I can do for you. He's been really great this second half. You know, I think he scored 3 times in this game today. So he was kind of in the mix of all of those things, even despite that odd double play he was in on. And so Charlie looks to be back somewhat and maybe, you know, answering some of those questions about, you know, is he done? Is there anything left in the tank? Look, if there is, he's going to let it all out there. And I think we're seeing, there's a lot in there. It's not the Charlie of old, but there's still some in the tank, and he's going to give it everything he's got.
Yeah, it's been really fun watching him over these last couple of weeks sort of discover it. A shout out before the show here on YouTube. So again, make sure you're subscribed on YouTube. Click the like, the thumbs up button, bell icon, all that stuff. It'll help you out. It'll help us out. And Mark was saying, the best part about this series is Blackmon with these center field shots, showing he's still got some thump in that bat. Important situations, Watching him take these veteran at bats, watching him have fun again, it's really been a blast. Another ugly play on defense leading to an inside the park home run.
Yeah.
Game two that almost, you know, that he's had a couple of those. Look, the writing is clearly on the wall that DH is in the future. But as you're talking about, okay, he's got to transition to DH. If you were looking at just his offensive numbers from the first month, month and a half of the season, you'd be going, well, shoot, what do you mean? No, you have to hit to be a DH. Like he wasn't quite there. And he's talked about that and admitted it. And Thomas Harding, I think, has done some of the best reporting on that particular subject in terms of the adjustments that Charlie has made. But what we're seeing right now makes you go, okay, yeah. That's right. That's what it is. We want that guy at DH next year.
And I, honestly, I'm only going to put half of that inside the Parker by Cronenworth on Charlie because Hilliard got – it didn't seem like he was too close to the wall on that, but he just didn't give it enough room, right, to get the rebound. And ultimately that was why it became what it did. It really kicked off the wall really fast. But
yeah, that's tough. And it's something that both Corey Sullivan and Ryan Spielborgs have talked to us about. They talk about on the air, which is that center field has to be the quarterback, the captain, the guy who makes the calls and says and does the things. And that's a tough spot for Sam Hilliard to be in, running over to Charlie Blackmon, be like, I am in charge here. It's like Charlie Blackmon, a multiple-time all-star. He's got Silver Slugger awards. He's got, you know, the equivalent of baseball tenure. And Sam Hilliard's trying to prove that he maybe belongs, but he has to captain in that situation. It's weird. It's tough. But yeah, it was an ugly play.
The two of the captains for the Rockies rotation, Germán Márquez and Antonio Senzatella, pretty much for completely different reasons. You know, Senzatella just being, you know, incredibly consistent over the course of his two starts, 13 innings pitched, you know, basically a 3.5 ERA over his last two starts, came away with one loss, one no decision, but ultimately was very good by the metrics are concerned. And then you've got Germán Márquez, who, you know, one of his, you know, worst starts of the year against San Francisco, but then comes out on Tuesday night, delivers, isn't getting the strikeouts as you would hope, but really, you know, kept the Padres at bay the much of the game. You know, only had one hit at one point, and he had two hits himself, RBI single, RBI double,
right?
The El Bateador de Plata, the Silver Slugger himself, doing the damn thing. And despite the three home runs he gave up, still came away looking pretty darn good. So those two guys kind of earn an equal nod at number four on 20th and Blaze.
And of course, all that, you left out the most important part, Will, of course, reminding us that Márquez apparently did all that. Well, look, folks, we have to report the facts on the show. We are nothing if not journalists filled with integrity. And when something is a fact, we have to bring it to you. And the fact is that Germán Márquez had diarrhea.
When you go to a baseball game and it's pouring, they call a timeout. But if it's just drizzling, you play. And Germán Márquez was drizzling on Tuesday night.
All right.
And he came through with it. All right.
All right.
You have anything else to add on that?
Okay. Number three. No, but I mean, but for seriously, like when a dude's really not feeling well and can still go out there and basically until that seventh inning, had a one-hit complete game shutout going. He was dominating, and then all of a sudden, you know, I think the Tatis home run, he left the fastball a little bit more over the middle of the plate than he wanted. Tatis hit the absolute piss out of it, and then he started to kind of fall apart a little bit. Then weird play behind him, like we talked about, inside the park home run. It got a little iffy on him. But
and the one that fan hit. Through, the one that fan hit was 489 feet, I want to say. It might have been the longest at Coors Field this year.
Yeah.
That was an absolute shot. That landed on the concourse, too.
Yeah. So you're just, like, shook at that point. I think whatever zone Márquez had gotten himself into to get past what he was dealing with physically and whatever else, it just totally shattered in that moment. And it was – and straight up, I thought the Rockies were going to lose once it fell apart like that. You're like, oh, okay, this whole thing's falling apart. But – the great catch from Trevor, right? The jumping catch to make sure that the tying run didn't come in.
Very great play.
one of his best plays of the season, and then the Rockies answered by pulling away. And you're like, what the hell? Even okay.
Great use of the word shatter in this area. And, you know, next year, if we happen to get new uniforms for the Rockies and they got some purple pants, dark purple pants, I think we'll know why. Okay. Number three, the left-hander, the Colorado kid, Kyle Freeland, mowing down the Giants, a career-high strikeouts against the Giants. You know, a very underrated start. You know, came away with the one victory, I think, on Saturday night against slinging Sammy Long. Yes, that Sammy Long of the San Francisco Giants. And, you know, Freeland is just – he's doing the thing. He's making a legitimate claim to say, you know, I'm kind of still one of the de facto leaders here on this team. And when my stuff is really good, it's just as good as anybody else's. And sure, he might not have no hit stuff. Then again, he did have one of the longer performances here at Coors Field. So he does have that claim to fame as well. But pound for pound, I mean, you look at the results and he's very much back to that 2018 form in more ways than not.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been so consistent. You saw him get a pinch hit appearance today when the Rockies randomly just needed somebody early on, and it reminds you of his general versatility that, like, he just competes. He's a good athlete. He understands every element of the game of baseball. Obviously, he didn't really come through and do anything. Like, weak ground out in his pinch hit appearance today. I think you're muted. But yeah, but Freeland, Kyle's style and profile, I'm working on it. Kyle Freeland, consistency, man. It takes me back to actually his rookie season in 2017 when I had an even worse nickname for Kyle Freeland, which is Quality Start Kyle, which is the worst nickname of all time.
It's like a backhanded compliment.
But it also, like, gives you a pretty solid understanding of what you can expect out of him just about every time out. He's going to give you that quality start. And I know some people are like, oh, what are the? I mean, to be an automatic, close to an automatic or a 90% of the time quality start guy holds extraordinary value. And that's back to what he's being. I'm down with it.
Yeah, strange to be called meat and potatoes and that kind of being a put down when you want to be filet mignon and some kind of potato casserole. But nevertheless, again, we talked about it on Tuesday's podcast with Senzatella. That has such incredible value, especially at Coors Field. Speaking of Coors Field, you got Connor Joe, the left fielder. Defense is starting to step up. He's still doing it at the top of the lineup. Has been great in the past week. Finally, really starting to make believers out of people that thought this was just a really good story, also a really fun story too. But now he's doing it consistently enough, putting bat to ball like no other, getting those home runs, and along with CJ Cron, the two CJs, they're really lifting this offense in a major way.
Yeah, it's been so much fun to watch Connor Joe play. We've talked about it a lot, obviously, but that's because he keeps making us talk about him. That's what happens when you keep playing well, hit home runs on your birthday or the anniversary of being declared cancer-free and all of those good things. But he did strike out a few times today, not the best. He was due for a down game. It happens. Baseball will get just about everybody. But even then, he's seeing pitches. Like, you just love the at-bat that he takes. We talked about his defensive efforts and the way those have been increasing. He had another really nice sliding catch out in left field today. And so, I think he was sitting at, this is before today, but a solid like 115 OPS plus. And, you know, if he can even just be that, you don't need him to like become this huge other thing. If he can just be a nice, solid, above average hitter, he's at 119 actually. So that's even higher than you expect. If he can be a 110 guy going forward, play solid left and first for you. He's a real find for the Colorado Rockies. It's a lot of fun.
And speaking of real finds that are, excuse me, not finds, real finds that are fine.
Fine.
number one, CJ Cron making a claim for his second Player of the Week award.
Yeah.
3 weeks. I don't know if that's ever happened before, but he's been an absolute beast today's game. Of course, he had a home run. He was 2 for 4. 3 more RBI. You know this guy gets his ribbies in bunches. It's as if he orders his ribeye steaks from Hassel Cattle Company.
No, that's right.
But yeah, I mean, 8 RBI over his last 7 games, 25 over his last 15, 35 over his last 30. He just absolutely rakes and has been incredibly valuable to this team on offense. And he's doing it too, not in the middle, directly the middle of the lineup. He's not batting third or fourth. He's actually batting fifth. So Buddy's been lengthening the lineup with him in a real nice way. And that's, I think that's been paying off for just about everybody in the lineup.
Yeah. I mean, he's just the gift that keeps on giving right now. CJ Cron has been so much fun to watch. He's arguably been the player of August in baseball. I mean, he's been absolutely, he's hitting over 400. He's on basing over 500 in the month of August. He's been, as you said, driving in the runs. He's taken over the Rockies' lead in ribbies from Ryan McMahon. He's still playing very solid defense, as we've talked about a bit before. The thing, though, that, you know, we talk about if they bring him back moving forward and is this the guy, that exit velocity, man. Boy, oh, boy, when he hits, he connects. And I was looking at some Baseball Savant stuff today. I'll show you his numbers, but one of the things that I'll add to this, I put this here in our back end, but here you've got his max exit velocity in the 94th percentile, his expected weighted on base above the average in the 91st percentile. But he has been, other than last year's shortened pandemic season, in the top 5% in terms of max exit velocity every year of his career. When he hits it, he really hits it. And you see some of these numbers that give you a little bit of pause in terms of whiffing and chasing, which is odd because he walks so much. His walk rate is in the 87th percentile. But that max exit velocity and his expected slugging and expected weighted on base above the average make you go, yeah, he is who we think he is. This matches up completely with your eye test of who CJ Cron is, right? That when he makes contact, he hits it really hard. And if it's not right at someone, it's going for extra bases. And that means if anyone's on, ribbies. That's why he leads the team in ribbies. And if it goes over the wall, more ribbies, more runs scored. Why he's been so damn valuable to this team this year.
And the graphic tells that story because you can see how many home runs he's hit opposite field. In fact, I don't think there's too much historical data on that. You'd really have to dig, but it would be interesting to see how many, at least right-handed hitters, especially since the advent of the Breidich barrier, have been able to go
oppo. To my eye test, you're 100% correct here. He has oppoed way more than righties normally do, way more.
And you're looking at Baseball Savant. I went to Fangraphs, and you're right. Since the month of August, that's before adding his 2 for 4 game with a homer, 3 yeah. RBI. He's actually first in all of baseball right now in wins above replacement going into today. 13.8% walk rate, 15.5% strikeout percentage, which is above average, right? 7 homers, right. 12 runs, 22 RBI. And for a first baseman at Coors Field, that usually is less than favorable. Really, it's almost held against a lot of guys. So you're absolutely right. Should be pointed out also, Trevor Story is number 8 since the beginning of August, since taking himself out of that game, saying, all right, this is where I'm going to be for the final 2 months.
Yep.
Cool. Totally. That's fine because these are my boys. Now I have an answer. Let's go. He's number 8. Number 9 is Frank Schwindel of the Cubs. Our boy, number 10, my boy, Eloy Jimenez, coming back, waking.
And number 11, the Frank Schwindel shirt.
And number 11, Rafael Ortega.
So Let's go.
Everything is right there in front of our eyes. You just got to be keeping them open to pay attention to it. That's it.
Baseball is the absolute best thing. Yeah, I saw Joe asking the question about Crohn's OPS in August. I went and looked it up. Will also apparently looked it up. 1.398 is his OPS in August.
Going into today. So it's probably gone up to over 1,400.
It's gone up. So, yeah, he was batting .408, .500, .898 slugging. That's 7 homers and 22 ribbies in the 14 games that he has played. Again, before today in the month of August. So,
incredible.
Absolutely.
He's been fantastic. And, yeah, a lot of it has been power, you know, as we said, with the doubles and the home runs, because you look at his isolated power. Basically, you take the batting average. You subtract the batting average from the slugging. So basically you remove all the singles and you see what you've got, and he's just mashing it. It's just a lot of extra base hits.
Yeah. Last thing on the offense, you talked about Story a little bit in there with the home run today. Two big notes on that one. First of all, bat flip of the season. Many people are saying, I know our guys.
That was beautiful.
John Boy and Tom were in on it immediately. Talking Baseball, by the way, you should follow those guys when they're not just doing their Yankees stuff. They're maybe a lot more entertaining for you. They don't just do Yankees stuff.
That's where they started. That used to be their bread and butter. They are filet mignon. That was their meat and potatoes. Now they're eating filet mignon. Yeah, they're absolutely. And was the other thing you were going to say, did it have to do with a certain guy from New Jersey? Not Todd Frazier. We'll talk about him in the Little League World Series briefly.
That's right.
Mike Trout?
It did indeed.
Go hit him up. Let the people know. This is an amazing stat when I saw that.
So it was the 150th career home run for Trevor Story. And he's just barely behind Mike Trout in terms of – so it took Mike Trout – I don't have it right in front of me. I believe it was 701 games to get to his 150 home runs. It took Trevor Story's 709. Now, of course, Trout debuted at a little bit younger of an age, and so he's got maybe more whatever. But if we're just counting games played or years played to home runs hit, Trevor Story has, in baseball terms, been dead even with Mike Trout. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, since the beginning of the 2016 season, which he started off the bang with those two home runs on opening day in Arizona, Trevor Story tied for 14th most home runs since then, tied with Giancarlo Stanton. Not bad. Goldschmidt, Springer with 4 more going into today. Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Abreu, Bryce Harper, Chris Crush Davis, from Oakland, the one that's 247 every year.
Right.
Freddie Freeman, Eugenio Suarez, Mike Trout, JD Martinez, Manny Machado. Number one is Nelson Cruz with 202 going into today. And number two, a certain cousin with 190. Moving on.
Never heard of him.
But yeah, again, when you think about power hitters, you don't necessarily think about Trevor Story just because he doesn't fit that mold with his size, and you think about almost more about his defense, you know, the contact at times he struggled with the strikeouts, but that statistic really kind of illuminates the success he's had with the power stroke.
Yeah. I see people asking in the comments if we can queue up the bat flip. Sadly, YouTube will get mad at us if we do that, but I can at this point recommend everybody follow @RocksGiftsVids. It's an absolute must follow. I retweet as many of the things that he puts out as I can, but you should just follow him on your own. It's again @Rocks, RoxGifs, vids, VIDS. And you can go and you'll see the bat flip there. And almost all of the great plays from any given game, or like he puts together these fantastic little, like if Marquez strikes out 9 guys in a game, like here are the 9 strikeout pitches from Marquez today. It is a must follow Twitter
account. It's a cornerstone follow where, you know, you might not get the text, right? You might not get any commentary, but you're getting the video and you're seeing it almost in real time. So yeah. That person does a wonderful job.
Yeah. And I love when they put up like just the graphics, you know, of just like from the broadcast, here's what Drew Romo is doing in Fresno.
The graphics you don't see long enough. You're like, oh, hold on. All right, let's see what this is. Totally. What? I got a line on it. It's too much. I'm taping all that stuff.
Find out about it. But yeah, so follow them. Sadly, we can't show you the bat flip, but it was 80 grade. And Mark, I agree. Hilliard had a pretty good one earlier this year. But the one from Trev today, there was something so smooth and like, oh, it just, he knew he got every part of that pitch and was just looking to see if it was staying fair.
It's so interesting because he's not an emotional guy. He's not one that walks around with his heart on his sleeve. He's, you know, he's almost a lunch pail and thermos kind of guy where he's checking in. He's got his job to do, which he's going to do. Well respected, well loved by his teammates, of course, but he does his job. He's very businesslike in that capacity and is wonderful to us in the media. But we've started to see it a little bit, especially this season, the emotion coming out in his bat flips when he had that long stretch where he hadn't homered and you saw him that excitement. And we've seen it a couple of times trying to pump his team up early in the season when they were struggling. And that's kind of been his moment of, oh, okay, we're allowed to finally start to show some emotion here. And the bat flip is like this acceptable form. And it's one reason why, you know, that we shouldn't get away from that. And we shouldn't be worried about, yeah, but then they're going to throw inside on this guy. And then we're going to have benches clear. Like we got to get away from that old school unwritten rules and just celebrate the game so that we can have a guy who's pretty mild mannered like Trevor Story be able to show that emotion and have that moment. Because even though he's done it maybe two or three times, it's still a rarity and it's still special when it happens. So if guys want to do it every single time, so be it. It's still fun. But when you save it like Story does, man, it really packs a punch.
There was one other note I wanted to make on the game today before we get into a couple of other topics. And that was there was a play that Trent Grisham kind of messed up in center field. He also made a couple of really fantastic plays. But there was one play where CJ Krohn, and you could see him, like he popped it up the center field. He put his head down. He started running. And good thing Charlie Blackman has been playing baseball forever and has a particular mentality about it and was sprinting off on the pitch because there were two outs. But Grisham just misplayed the ball coming in center field. You know, he was jogging in on it. He thought he had a pretty good beat on it. Then at the last second, he realized, oh, I got to sprint a little bit, went to dive for it, missed it, and it cost him a run. And Trent Grisham is one of the best defensive center fielders in baseball right now. He's top three or four pretty comfortably. And it was a reminder of what a difficult center field Coors is to play with all of that sky and all of that room to cover and everything that, you know, it's just one more reminder that even having the ability and only having to come out here a couple of times a year, and he's not going to have to worry about that anymore, and he can go play elsewhere. But it gives you an extra appreciation for a play like the one Garrett Hampson made to bail out Chi-Chi in the second inning, I want to say. He made a couple of diving catches in this series, running around out there, reminding you that this guy who came up as a middle infielder has taken to this spot better than a lot of other people. So I wanted to make sure to point that out, not to like dunk on Trent Grisham, because like he's a phenomenal defender. He really is. And he'd be one of those guys, if he was just like available, I'd be like, Rocky, you should get him. But he reminded you that just being a great defender doesn't mean you can automatically play good defense at center field at Coors. It's a whole different animal.
Colorado might be just a little bit too far south to be considered big sky country. But at times, Coors Field can definitely be big fly country.
It sure is.
Saw it there on that hit, which ultimately had a 3% chance of being a hit. It was 0.030 is the expected batting average on that. So yeah, you're right. Good heads up by Charlie Blackman.
Yeah. The hit that he had earlier in the game, though, 114 miles an hour off the bat from CJ Krohn, straight manscaped. That's right, manscaped when you get that close. Leave nothing left. Get that close, close shave. Get that smooth. Gentlemen, fellas, look, let me be real with you for just a second. You're not manscaped. You're not doing it right. You've made a mistake. You have, and it's a look, we all make mistakes in life. It's okay. You can fix this very easily. We've got you covered here. You can fix this. Fellas, it's 2021. You got to get manscaped.
Get out of the weeds. If you're in the weeds, man, get out of there. Get manscaped.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to feel better. Like, I promise you will feel better. I'm going to feel like hot and sticky and gross all the time. So you'll feel better. And then whoever's taking care of you, you know what I mean, they're going to feel better. Because Manscaped gets you all nice and tidy, but also nice and smelling good, nice and feeling good. If you take care of that lawnmower 4.0 package, you get the lawnmower 4.0, you get some spritzer, you get some deodorant, and you get the most comfortable pair of boxers I personally have ever worn in my life. Plus, they give you a nice little carry bag. Really nice material on that thing, too.
It's all almost like baseball glove material. I've thought about that. I'm like, yeah. Is that actually what's used? Like, maybe a slightly different grade, but it has that feel to it and that look. Because I used to have a mitt that was like that. It was like that black leather to it. So immediately when we got those, I was like, okay, this is definitely going into rotation in my travel bag. No two ways about it.
100%. It's fantastic stuff. All of their products, quality made. You can get 20% off plus free shipping when you use promo code DNVR at manscaped.com. Promo code DNVR gets you 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Get trimmed up. Get the best tools for your family jewels for a clean Trinity and beyond. That's right. Your space balls will thank you. Get it done at manscaped.com, fellas. All right, a couple of things here in the last part of the show I wanted to talk about. First of all, very briefly, and we can dive into this in more detail, but very excited to see that the Athletic, Ken Rosenthal, and shoot, who was the other reporter? Now it's slipping my mind, reporting that and this is a very early on. This is a proposal. It begins now. It's essentially where we're at with the CBA stuff. But it looks like they're floating the idea of a salary floor and some kind of salary cap-ish, or at least a change to luxury tax. And so I'm excited about that. Very excited about that. We've talked about the salary floor possibility. Just wanted to mention that we saw that news today. Potentially good, but a long way to go.
Yeah, I think there's a way that you could have a harder cap. It'll still probably be somewhat soft. But you could have a harder soft cap, that makes sense, and that floor, and it still puts money in players' pockets. It still works out for everybody because the superstar players are still going to get paid like superstars. I mean, you see it in every sport, right? They have a cap in the NBA, and guys are still signing these monstrous deals. Same thing in the NFL, which – you know, they restructure and all that stuff, but ultimately there's room in there to do stuff like that. And I think those players are still going to get paid. But now maybe some more of those mid-range guys or even at the bottom of free agency, now those guys will get paid because you'll have teams like Tampa maybe being forced to spend a little bit more. That's also scary to think they're going to have more money to spend or they're going to be forced to spend more money. It's probably going to work out pretty well for them. Careful what you wish for, but Orioles and any team in general that's tanking, that's trying to save money now to roll it towards the future. So you're right. That I'm glad you mentioned that. And that's definitely something we'll be keeping our eye on. It will be very interesting to see if both parties really do want something like that.
Yeah. So you can place your bets now on whether or not you think that's going to go down. I don't think that's allowed to bet on the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, but we do have – lots of great stuff to vote on. No, it's not voting. It doesn't quite work that way. If enough people do it, you win. No. But you did hook people up with the great Charlie Blackman bet. Those who I don't think my entire same game parlay hit, but if you took most of the bets individually, because I had Krohn, Rodgers and Connor Joe getting hits in game two and the Rockies winning. And I think that was most of this, and Fernando Tatis Jr. getting a hit. So I think that may have been the entire same game parlay. So you got to hop on there, make a whole lot of money doing that. Or as Patrick said, just throwing down on who's going to get a home run. If you went with Charlie any of these last couple of days, you made a solid bit of money for yourself. Do download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use that promo code DNVR when you sign up. You can receive $200 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any college football game. It's promo code DNVR to get your free $200 in free bets instantly. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And do not forget today's draft king of the game. I think this might be the first time, Patrick, in the history of us doing both 20th and Blaze and draft king of the game, that we have the same person coming in number one and winning draft king of the game.
I think you're correct. I would have to say that you're correct, because it's almost as if, as we were doing it, I'm thinking, oh man, we're kind of spoiling the king of the game in a weird way, but that's not always true. The player who happens to have the best game isn't necessarily the one that's had the best week, but CJ Cron is that guy going 2-for-4 with the homer, 3 more RBI. He's halfway through potentially becoming player of the week. He's still going to need a really big series, and he's going to have an opportunity.
He's going to say
the Diamondbacks.
You're going to have plenty of chances.
Very good. Look, I called the 3-game sweep of the Padres. Yeah, it was after the first game.
Sure.
But do the Rockies sweep the D-backs?
Are they about to go 6-0 on a homestand? I think they probably are. I mean, the Diamondbacks are bad on the road. The Rockies are, as we know, very good at home. You know, the Gomber just missed to welcome his second child into the world. So he's right back. You know, so the Chi-Chi spot start was just that. The Rockies rotation is back to being fully healthy, and a fully healthy Rockies rotation and a Rockies home offense, your only concern is the bullpen. And as of late, like, Yancey looked good today. Chacin's been great as of late. Bard keeps not totally blowing it. And so you go, well, shoot, they should. Shouldn't they? You can't call a sweep, but should we?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say the Rockies are going to sweep the Diamondbacks at home. And if they do, look, the Rockies right now have the 10th best record in the National League. And you go, yeah, 10th. Like, that's really far away. But when you look at the wild card standings, it's kind of hard to think. It's kind of hard to not think, man, they're playing so good. And you look at the teams ahead of them, and they're 6.5 games back of the Mets. But the Mets are in it, and the Rockies are right beneath them. So technically wouldn't – no, of course not. But you know what? Right now is a good sweet spot. Here on the Wednesday post game, Thursday's an off day. We'll see what happens with the Diamondbacks. They also go to Chicago to play the Cubs.
Oh man,
that could be a series win. You know what? If you just want to kind of if you want to forget everything, if you want to ignore what maybe the team should be doing in the future and how they might be blowing up their draft board in 2022, enjoy it for the next 48 hours or more. And think, could this be the greatest comeback to make the postseason? In baseball history?
Wildly Innocent points out they're 11 games out of the wild card spot. When you said 6.5 behind the Mets, they were supposed to win the East.
They were 11 games out of the wild card spot, I think, on May 1st. So they've come a long way to be in the exact same spot. But context is king here.
It totally. That is amazing. All right. A couple thoughts. We want to get to some thoughts on Little League World Series, but we do have a super chat from Jacob coming in, going to the Summerfest I know. I pulled a Jeremy. The Superfest. SummerSlam.
It's the biggest party of the summer.
I know, right? They're doing that already. I've been out. I've been more on AEW as of late. So I don't know where
it's also gonna be on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I thought they were thinking about doing it over two nights, but
they should. It was so good for Mania when they did that. That's a great that's the way to do it. So I hope you see some cool stuff. Like going is always so much, even if it's like a mediocre show to watch on TV, being there is always better for pro wrestling. It's just the best life. Yeah.
SummerSlam is a very underrated event. We know what the Royal Rumble does. That's exciting. That's one singular match.
Yeah.
That's exciting. That's fine. Survivor Series is a bit hokey. I think that's kind of almost gone away. I think people care less and less. WWE tries to make it into a thing. And a couple years ago, they include NXT, and they put NXT over to try to push that brand, and now they've all but crushed it. So I think SummerSlam really is just another pinnacle along with WrestleMania. So have fun with that one. That'll be fun. We got another big event coming up. I think it starts on Thursday, in fact. The Little League World Series.
I was like, wait, what? Are we transitioning to the next thing, or were you throwing some curveball at me? I was like, yeah, let's go.
World Series. No international teams this year.
Yeah.
No international teams. So that meant two representatives from each region. So you got 16 American teams. So U.S. will be winning the Little League World Series. You might not be able to bet on that at DraftKings Sportsbook, but – again, if you're down at the DNVR bar and you want to make a bet-friendly bet with someone that's not listening to the DNVR Rockies podcast, you can tell them, I can guarantee U.S. is going to win it. I can't tell you exactly who. They're just loaded. The U.S. field is loaded this year, and I have the confidence that one of them is going to get the job done.
Love it.
Well, I was looking into a couple things.
Yes.
I felt bad because I felt good. Sometimes when you feel good, you feel bad.
Yeah,
and I felt good because Tom Zerver is going back to the Little League World Series.
Saw that.
He saw that. Todd Frazier's nephew, Carson Frazier, son of Charlie Frazier, Todd's brother, who was drafted by the Marlins, spent some time in the minor leagues, didn't get up to the majors. A second brother, Jeff Frazier, went to Rutgers. He did make it to the majors, you know, had a couple seasons here and there, wasn't really able to carve out much. And then Todd, the baby boy, has the great career still going on, still not officially retired, but Carson Frazier, big walk-off win to secure the spot. So they're kind of the number two seed coming out of the Northeast region. And I thought, oh man, it would be a shame to just kind of celebrate that. So you know what? I thought we got to celebrate Colorado because Colorado's had a lot of really good Little League teams. Now, Colorado's never had a representative in the Little League World Series, and much of that was due from the fact that they were in the same region as Texas and Florida. So the place that all of your favorite baseball players have essentially have ever come from, Texas and Florida, that's not really fair. So from 1957 to 2000, they had no shot.
It's the same as the Rockies being, and this is another thing we'll talk about in the future. There was this ESPN article, and I can't remember the last time I recommended people read an article on ESPN. So look, when you hit, you hit. They got a bunch of baseball guys together. I can't remember. I know Jeff Passan was in there. A bunch of legit baseball guys together. And they came out with basically this list of like shit MLB should fix. These are our recommendations, right, for how to fix baseball. One of them that I agreed with, I think, every single one of them, which shocked me beyond belief. And one was the obvious like realignment, geographical realignment. So it's just like the Rockies we've talked about. The Rockies play in the wrong division. And if they didn't have to do so much weird, wonky travel, and if they didn't have to play in a division with the Dodgers who have a $2 billion television deal, they would have an easier time competing. Not necessarily an easy time, but that was something they talked about was the – and so, yeah, it sucks that on Little League we're stuck with Texas and Florida too. Come on, man.
They realigned a little bit so Colorado doesn't have to deal with Florida. But they have to deal with Texas twice. Texas was split into two halves, an east and a west. So I feel like that in a way that almost negates the Florida. But somehow Louisiana is the representative from our region this year. Louisiana's has snuck in there a couple times, but Colorado has had a lot of really good representatives. I was a little surprised to see that where these teams have come from. So in the last 20 years, ultimately North Boulder has been Colorado's representative in the region 7 times. Academy Little League down in Colorado Springs, 6 times. In Rifle had a representative a couple years ago, so good on them, Colorado River Valley. And all of the rest are from the Western Slope. Grand Mesa.
Let's go!
Yes, Grand Mesa did it twice. Orchard Mesa, which is quite literally where you're from. That would have been your Little League, wouldn't it?
That's my Little League. I played. I have got OMML, Orchard Mesa Little League.
Yes.
Get all over. Like, that's where we played. And you got to understand that Orchard Mesa Little League, like, we were playing on, like, gravel. Like, I'm still picking gravel out of my knee from stealing second base when I was 13. But Orchard Mesa Little League. When you shared that with me, I was kind of surprised to see us on there twice. I was like, no way. Right. But we had a couple of good teams, man. There was one. Grand Mesa is the look, we love you. They're the rich kids in town. They got all the nice stuff. They do real well. Kyle Rowling, who spent several years in the Rockies minor league system, he was my grade at school. We graduated together from Central High School in Grand Junction, and he went to Double A with the Rockies before retiring. He and the really good kids were Grand Mesa, but him, and remember, he went to Double A as a professional. We beat them my year. Orchard Mesa did. We got the best of those guys.
Like that. Yeah, Grand Junction had representatives from 2007 to 2010. So they had a run. And Monument also, too. Monument Little League in Grand Junction were there to do it. So, again, good baseball going on here in Colorado. Celebrate it on any level that you can find. So that'll be exciting to see on Thursday there in Williamsport. And then next weekend for Players Weekend, I think it's Angels, Cleveland. Those jerseys are cool. We might have to talk about that as well. But another fun stretch of games coming up all around the country. Loving baseball.
I love it, man. I love every single element of it. It would be really cool to see a Colorado team get in there. Obviously, I'd be pulling for some Western Slopes folks. But obviously, it's harder because we can't play – full year. I couldn't play in the wintertime here. We would go play football or soccer or basketball or something in the wintertime because you can't play baseball all year.
That's true in New Jersey too, and true in the Northeast. Right. And it's one of the reasons why scouts look for pitchers in the Northeast and they look for hitters in the warmer climates. And as we discussed, weeks ago, there has yet to be, or they're currently, other than David Boaty, there aren't any Colorado hitters in baseball right now. It's just not a state for hitters. It's all about pitchers because of that. The arms are a little more alive because they get rest in that off season, but the bats, they go cold in the wintertime because there's nowhere to go.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Let's go Colorado. Get it done. I'll be checking in on some Little League World Series, just the way we watch some Olympics, the way we watch World Baseball Classic when it comes around. All that stuff is good. More minor league baseball as of late. Spokane and Fresno have been really, really fun to watch. Albuquerque has actually been on quite the run as of late.
Peter Lambert's making his first rehab start tonight.
Yes. Yes. Peter Lambert's back. Colton Welker has been back at AAA for the last couple of days. And so that's been a whole lot of fun. And then, as we've mentioned before here at the major league level, Rockies on a roll. Welcome in one of the worst teams in baseball with an opportunity to sweep this homestand. And look, it's not going to, I don't know. We don't know the future. We don't know what happens. It's not going to. They're not going to. But this is fun. It's fun watching them go 20 games over 500 at home. Is wild, dude. That blows my mind. Even knowing, like, I thought they were going to – I feel like at the beginning of the season, I was like, no, this team isn't nearly as bad as people think that they are. And so I was – but the way they've played at home has far exceeded my expectations for how they would look at their best. And that's pretty cool because I was on the high end of how this team could look at their best. And at home – Like, look at these teams. You, who wants to come here right now fighting for a postseason spot and play the Rockies? Like, it's not even, it's not a joke anymore. It's not funny. It's not cute. It's not clever. They're 20 games over 500. They're a nightmare to play at Coors Field, and that's pretty cool.
So we'll see what they are able to do to the Dodgers and Giants. Three games at Coors against the Dodgers in late September. Six in the month of September against the Giants.
Just
they could decide the NLS. They aren't going to be the ones who win it, but they are going to be the ones who decide who is going to be the best in the West.
They're about to mess up some people's days. I'll tell you that much right now. So hang out with us for the next couple of days. We'll be watching these games, of course, against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Follow us on social media, at Drew Kreisman, at Patrick D. Lyons, at DNVR underscore Rockies. You got to subscribe to thednvr.com. When you do that, you get access to all the written content. You get discounts on hats and shirts. You get a bigger beer when you come down to the DNVR bar. You get a free shirt when you get the annual. You get access to our Discord channel where we're talking 24/7 baseball, all the other sports, the best movies you've seen recently, the recent Star Wars news. For those of you that are big Star Wars people, that's blowing up huge. Gamers, anything and everything under the sun. We are a family down at DNVR, and we would love for you to become a part of that family. So subscribe at thednvr.com for all that good stuff. Come hang out with us. Otherwise, we can only ask that you keep being the absolute best baseball fans in the world out there. We will keep being absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.